This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, will Congress actually save us from one of those very scary government shutdowns and fund the military for up to 2 years at a much higher level?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
After months of fiscal brinkmanship, this budget deal is the first real sprout of bipartisanship, and it should break the long cycle of spending crises that have snarled this Congress and hampered our middle class.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
First and foremost, this bipartisan agreement will unwind the sequestration cuts that have hamstrung our armed forces and jeopardized our national security.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
You heard it right, folks. There's a possibility that Congress will actually save us from one of those very scary shutdowns that we experienced, you know, for 2 days and a weekend last time through. But more importantly, that they have actually come to an agreement at this point. They haven't voted on it yet, but an agreement on a long-term budget. Now, let me explain to you. Our Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, is out today on jury duty. He was very upset because this is like his favorite topic to talk about when it comes to budgeting and appropriating. But let me just explain for you. There's this bigger budget deal, and they'll be voting on the kind of the idea of this framework likely today in the Senate and then the House. And it's supposed to pass. It's supposed to pass with bipartisan support, but for Nancy Pelosi's eight-hour-long speech yesterday on the House floor. The House does not have a filibuster where she wanted to talk about immigration, and everybody said we will do immigration, and that will be the next issue, but we first have got to do the budget issue. But what this is a framework for the budget, so there will be a short-term spending bill within this for 6 weeks. So within that time period, they can either come forward with the full appropriations for this budget framework they've agreed to, or we may have a few of these continuing resolutions every 6 weeks, but they won't be as dramatic. People won't be talking about government shutdown potentials because they will be building towards this bipartisan framework to actually fund the government. There's some very good parts of this for the U.S. military, and we're going to get into that a little later in the broadcast with a retired Colonel Wes Smith about exactly how this impacts military spending, because as Secretary Mattis testified this week on Capitol Hill, it has been the sequestration on the military and the budget restraints on the military that has been more harmful to the military than being engaged in conflicts for the last 16 years. But it was the budget constraints that are more harmful to the military. So we'll talk about all of this today. What does it mean to get this kind of budget through, not just on the defense side, but on the spending side as well? It's fairly unprecedented that we would actually see a budget deal get done. It's something that's it's been a long time since we've had one of these actually go through, and it hasn't just been one of these continuing resolutions fundings. We'll take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Where are you on this budget deal? There are opponents on both sides of the aisle, on the left and the right, and there are supporters of this on the Republican and Democrat side. So you've got, again, this is about as bipartisan as anything has gotten in Washington, D.C., as long as I can remember when it comes to a deal like this. But that may make people a little bit nervous. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we're also on Facebook and Periscope as well.
Yeah, a lot of people are commenting already. You can get your comments in as well. Facebook.com/JSeculo. Broadcasting on Periscope and Twitter at Jordan Seculo today. Again, that's at Jordan Seculo on Twitter and on Periscope, but Jay Seculo on Facebook as well as ACLJ.org. A lot of people are commenting already. Brad said, I believe that this will not get done and we will have another shutdown. We have Rob who said, are they actually doing their job? So a lot of interesting comments coming in. Definitely people that are not fully convinced.
Yeah, I mean, so, and again, before. We will understand that until the actual votes take place today in the Senate and then ultimately the House, there could be a shutdown. You could have to have a short-term spending measure. That has not been averted yet. That's why we said, could they actually be saving us from one of those very scary shutdowns? We'll take your calls when we come back. Give us a call. What do you think about this proposed budget deal? It is a big deal, folks, to have a budget like this. 1-800-684-3110. We'll walk through the specifics when we get back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Folks, yesterday, congressional leaders reached a two-year budget deal that will lift strict budget caps on defense and domestic spending by roughly $300 billion over 2 years. $165 billion of that is for defense, and $128 billion of that is for domestic programs. The goal of this bill is to end the cycle of these budget fights, this nonstop every 6 weeks. Are we going to have a shutdown? But just to let you all know, This vote is on the framework for the budget. There will still have to be one of those six-week continuing resolutions that will still approach again. But if you've got the budget framework, then you start the appropriations process, the actual process of Congress going through and appropriating long-term funds to federal programs, both defense programs, domestic programs, agency funding. And so you're actually going to get to see the layouts financially. So it's not just short-term, throwing out, you know, another $100 billion here and another $100 billion there, but much bigger budgets of how you will actually be able to. And then it allows those agencies, and our military especially, to plan because they know how much money they've got to utilize, both on spending that isn't locked into specifics. So they have some spending where they are kind of allowed to make decisions about how the resource will be used. And then it also increases their ability spend on the emergency defense spending, which is the overseas operations that we currently have ongoing. We have a military engaged in conflicts all over the world. So we'll take your phone calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There are some folks who are not happy about some of the spending caps being lifted on this, fiscal conservatives especially. Not just because of the military side, but because there's also an increase in domestic spending for this fiscal year by $63 billion, and then an increase in domestic spending for the following fiscal year, which begins October 1st of 2018, by another $68 billion. That's over the sequester cap. So the actual budget is $584 billion. So you're increasing it by, you know, $60 plus billion domestic side. We will go through there are even more specifics than that to go through some of the larger items in this other than military spending. And I would love to get some calls from those in the military because they have been the ones, I think, most damaged by, one, being part of this budget restraint process. So instead of saying, okay, we have military spending and then we have all the other spending, they've had to operate under these budget caps. And again, we know that our military is not at, it is still the most powerful in the world, but it's not at the capabilities that it could be if the budget was a bit more, let's say, not unrestrained, because that's, you don't want a budget to be like that, but if they had more flexibility in how to spend and more certainty in what amounts they will have, so they're not waiting every 6 weeks on what money is going to come through in these short-term spending bills. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. And then, of course, this if this passes, we're going to be right into the DACA issue. So we'll take calls on that as well, on DACA and the wall. Are you willing to trade? If you're someone who says, I don't really like the DACA thing, I'm kind of opposed to that, but are you willing to trade DACA, as it's been proposed by the President Trump, for an actual border wall? Is that a trade you would support legislatively? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we've got calls coming in. Let's go to one of them.
All right, yeah, a lot of comments are coming in as well, but you can get your comments online. You give us a call, like you said, at 1-800-684-3110. Sharon's calling in California online, too. You're on the air.
Hello. I appreciate all that you do. I really do, and I'm very passionate about this. My son is a staff sergeant in the Army.
Yep.
And we need real reform in government. And two ideas I was thinking is that we need single-item bills. I'm tired of them putting all this other stuff in there, talking about it being bipartisan and we're negotiating. It's polititricks and it's nonsense. It needs to stop. We need single-item bills on the floor in Congress so that it's an up or down, yes or no vote. And the second idea I have is that if our representatives made the same salary as a soldier, and it was based on performance and peer review type thing, because they work for us and we voted on their salaries, maybe they wouldn't be career politicians anymore.
Yeah, well, I'd say one, Shannon, you know, that is up to us. We do elect them. And so, again, they set their salaries. We send these folks to Congress, though, so that they vote on them publicly and openly. And so they set their salaries. But the disparity is gigantic. I'd say second, the single item voting that you're encouraging, that is something we're going to be talking about very soon with Wes Smith, who is from our military policy team, is a retired colonel from our U.S. Armed Forces, because there is this idea, again, that the military budget should be differently treated than the rest of domestic spending and other foreign spending. I mean, listen to Secretary Mattis. He testified this week on Capitol Hill about the defense budget and how important it is to get the budget, and what happens if you don't? Bite number six.
Failure to implement or fund the 2018 National Defense Strategy will leave us with a force that could dominate the last war, yet be irrelevant to tomorrow's security. We need Congress to lift the defense spending caps and support a two-year budget agreement for our military. America can afford survival.
I mean, that is very key, that we can afford survival, that we have a military that is maybe capable of last year's conflict and handling that fine, but it's the next conflict that we've got to be preparing for. And again, that idea of separating out the military from the same budget restraints that are placed on a lot of out-of-control programs, by the way. I mean, I agree. A lot of domestic programs that should be cut or significantly reduced in funding. We'll go through some that are getting increases. I think some of those make sense. Some of the new crises facing our country that the government is trying to tackle with funding. Again, we'll take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go through a few of those. This larger deal would extend the funding for the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, for 10 years. So it kind of takes off like it does military for 2 years, takes that issue, and it takes it out of the political arena, the Children's Health Insurance Program, for a decade. That's a big deal. Provide $6 billion for opioid and mental health treatment programs. We know the opioid problem is huge in the United States, and it needs to be treated. This is when the government can spend smartly by targeting a problem specifically. So you see there, and again, it's not just a drug treatment, but the opioid problem specifically. $5.8 billion towards a bipartisan child care and development block grant. $4 billion for the VA to rebuild and improve veterans hospitals. I think everybody supports that. I mean, if the funds are used correctly. Now we have a new VA team in, so we should be able to, again, utilize those funds correctly so that our veterans are getting the services they deserve from the Veterans Administration that runs those hospitals and those clinics. There's a $20 billion for infrastructure. We know the highway problems. We've seen what's happened with Amtrak in the last few weeks. Just issue after issue. I mean, I used to, when I lived Washington, D.C.,
oh, yeah,
and utilizing the Acela train and walking between them and never thought about one of them breaking apart, and one did this week.
Yeah.
And they said if you were literally were walking at that point, you would have dropped through into the floor of a under a train going over 100 miles an hour and been crushed to death.
Yeah, been on that train hundreds of times.
And that's one of the newer technologies.
Yeah, maybe 15 years old.
Yeah, and it's still not being kept up. So that infrastructure, I think, is huge. That also includes broadband for rural areas. Again, very important. Some college affordability programs in there. And some of the community health centers as well, a reauthorization. So taking you through the budget, but also wanting to get your comments on this as well. And Logan, I think we have time to take another call.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go to John in Portland, Tennessee. Line one.
Good afternoon.
Spent some time there in Portland. Go ahead.
You have family in Portland?
I spent some time over in Portland. Go ahead.
Oh, understand. A couple of weeks ago, Senator Chuck Schumer was belly aching and crying about how are we going to afford Trump's tax cuts. And now with this, as looking at it from a global situation, it's a huge increase in spending. So I don't hear anybody on the right or left saying or asking the question, how are we going to pay for this?
Yeah, well, there's an issue. There are certainly those on the right. I think the House Freedom Caucus has said they're opposed to this because of that very issue, John. But what we're looking at is that you've got the bipartisan, so you've got the middle of the road Republicans, middle and the Democrats as well coming together, and there's enough of them to pass it. It does add to the debt. No one is saying it doesn't. It adds to our national debt. It adds, I think it's trillion, right? I mean, trillions to the debt. So that is an issue here. But it's a compromise between Republicans and Democrats on how do you get funding to our military so that it's not just short term. How do you get 2 years of funding to our military? How do you get 10 years of funding to the children's health insurance program so that it doesn't become a political football? You do it through these kind of compromises. Again, I want to see exactly what makes its way through the Senate. We will see, too. I mean, we're being told it's got the support in the Senate and the support in the House, but we're talking about a vote that's not going to be on, like, it's got enough votes because there's a majority of Republicans. It may be that the more Republicans than not vote for it, but it may not be. They can't probably pass this without Democrats in the House. So there'll be a lot of Republicans on the right voting against it. Just want to be fair and honest as we discuss this process season. We want to get into the military issue too when we come back. So we're going to get it more into the military budget specifically with retired Colonel Wes Smith, part of our military policy team here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We come back from this break. And Logan, there are a lot of, we can take some of the comments online as well.
Yeah, a lot of comments coming in and a lot of phone calls. Again, you can get your comments in on social media. It's at facebook.com/JSeculo. You can tweet us at Jordan Seculo, at Logan Seculo. We'll see him during the show. And know if you put a comment in, even if it doesn't make it on the air, we talk about it and someone on our team reads it. So we'll be right back with more on JSeculo Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow. Brother, he stepped out. You know, these things happen. We're doing live radio, folks, here. People called out assignment. My dad is out as well today. Joined by Wes Smith back in the studio. Thanks for coming back.
Good to see
saving
you.
Me here when I need it. Let's go ahead. Let's maybe take a phone call or a comment here. Let's just see who's been holding the longest. I'm going to take you because that's how it works. I'm going to be diplomatic here. Actually, Will said we should play a bite. I'm going to let him say that. Let's play bite 19. Go ahead.
We haven't asked our men and women in uniform to do less for our country. We've just forced them to make do with less than they need. This agreement changes that.
Oh, well, Jordan's back in the studio, so
yes,
I'll let him take
it. Sorry about that. The issue that we want to focus on right now is the military spending, as Senator McConnell, the majority leader, just spoke about. And that's why I think we are getting the bipartisan support specifically for this legislation, bringing in Wes Smith, retired colonel. And Wes, when we go through this spending bill, this is something the military, I know that there's other parts of this that some fiscal conservatives don't love on the domestic budget.
Right.
When it comes to funding the military, those same fiscal conservatives usually don't have a problem with providing the military with adequate resources. You were telling me, I mean, we're not just down on you know, like modernizing the actual machinery or the machinery, if you will, but on people as well in our military.
Right.
So there's a real budget issue when they can't plan out for more than, you know, these short-term spending bills and don't know what money's going to be coming in.
Yeah, I mean, Secretary of Defense Mattis was real, real candid when he testified before the House Armed Services Committee on Tuesday. And that is, you know, 16 years of war, he said, have not been as detrimental to the men and women in the military as the Budget Control Act sequester. That has been more harmful to the military than the 16 years of war. And the 16 years of war have really, you know, wearied soldiers who have multiple deployments, and it's certainly a strain on equipment. But yeah, you're right, Jordan. What's happening with the military spending being artificially tied to domestic spending, and that really needs to be decoupled. But what happens is that every time they do a continuing resolution, and for the last 10 of the last 11 years, for 10 of the last 11 years, part of the fiscal year, the military has had to operate under a continuing resolution. That means they are tied to the previous year's appropriated dollars. They can't do new programs. They have to cannibalize parts for their planes and their tanks and other equipment because they can't buy new equipment. It affects training. It affects maintenance. And then, of course, Secretary Mattis said this week that in addition to that, and I was not aware of this until he reported it to Congress, we are 15,000 soldiers short in the Army, 4,000 short in the Air Force. And he said unless they can pass this budget and the appropriations bill that follows it, they will simply not be able to meet these needs. It is beyond ironic, Jordan, that week before last, what drives the military budget is the National Defense Strategy.
Right.
A very important document. Week before last, the Pentagon presented the National Defense Strategy to Congress. They mandated it overwhelmingly. And the same day they did that, they shut down the government. That's irony.
Yeah. I mean, so we're talking about, and we'll go through the specifics too for the military as well. I think we know we have a lot of listeners who have, we already have had callers who have got, you know, sons, daughters in the military, veterans in the military. There's VA funding in this budget as well to try and improve the services there that we know have been so poor. For our veterans, which is no excuse when you have the amount of money that's being used. It's the way it's being, amount of money being spent, it's the way it's being used. But let's take some phone calls. People have got a lot to say about this.
Let's go to Monty in Seattle, Washington, on line 3. Monty, you're on the air.
Hello there. I'm a former civilian contractor. I was in Afghanistan. And as a civilian contractor, I was given a fully armored Humvee vehicle for my personal use. But what I wanted to say is that the soldiers out there, and they basically had to go out and look for armored pieces of armor, thick steel and everything else, and make their own armor and improvise for the armor for their vehicles. I mean, it was absolutely disgusting.
So is that true? I mean, Wes, you served in those areas of the world. I mean, could you tell that these private services had so much better equipment than the U.S. military?
They have contracts with the federal government. They virtually have unlimited funds once they get that contract in place. It's better now as far as the up-armored vehicles, but early on in the war on terror, both in Iraq and Afghanistan, he's correct. The contractors had up-armored vehicles provided to them by their employer. And at that point, U.S. soldiers were having to improvise to protect themselves. But what's happening right now, Jordan, and it's in a way just as detrimental, potentially so, and that is because of all of the budget constraints on the Department of Defense and being held to previous year spending, the training suffers. For example, pilots right now are able to only log about half of their training hours, our fighter pilots. That affects directly their proficiency and their skill. And the reason they've cut back on flight hours is they don't have the money both for fuel and for maintenance. And we're talking a real issue. The military has to watch what they spend on fuel and maintenance, and it affects readiness.
You know, we see those stories coming out of places like North Korea where their number of pilot hours are so low because of they don't have the access to the resources to the fuel. Here, there's no problem with getting the fuel if you can pay for it. So this is purely a financial issue. And in a government where people think, you know, it's out of control spending, the most important part of our spending should be the military. You've also talked about the manpower as well, that we're low on the manpower. This can also be addressed through finances.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it takes dollars to recruit new personnel. We have the smallest Navy right now, Jordan, since 1917. Think about that. We have the smallest Army since just before World War II broke out. And half of the Air Force planes, their fighter, their attack aircraft, are not flyable presently. And so, this is a real problem. And it sounds jaded and skeptical, but I get the impression from time to time that some of the Democrats and the more left-leaning progressives, they have a quiet, usually not publicly spoken, distrust of the military.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Congress waffles on this. And yet, one of the two explicitly mandated powers of Congress, their responsibility, is national defense.
Right.
And it's this very thing that they tend to waffle on.
So we've got, like, from the House Freedom Caucus, and, you know, those are a lot of our good friends are part of that caucus. But, you know, their official statement is they oppose the CAPS deal. That means the removing of the caps on a lot of different budget areas. And they say, we support funding our troops, but growing the size of government by 13% is not what the voters sent us here to do. So they're again, and I think this is that bigger problem, Wes, we will talk about in the second half hour. They're looping because right now military spending is included in the overall budget, and we haven't like set it aside to say, okay, let's handle our domestic and non-military foreign spending, you know, to the other government agencies. And then let's go through the appropriations process specifically for our armed services. But right now, it's all included. So when there's a spending cap put in place, there's spending caps put in place on the military. And so I'm not sure from that statement if they're saying they like the funding of the military, but they don't like the fact that they're allowing it to go $80 billion over the existing sequester cap for this fiscal year, and then up to $85 billion for the next fiscal year as well. And I think it's a total of $140 billion for emergency defense spending as well. So, I mean, it's, again, this idea of, and look, the total budgets we're talking about are over $600 billion for our armed forces. And then the squabbling is over, you know, 60, 70, 80 billion. And that could be the difference between having the aircraft and pilots ready and then having the aircraft and pilots not ready in a small military. We've got a second half hour coming up. Logan,
yep,
I know it's
you can find it live on ACLJ.org, Facebook, and Periscope, at Jordan Seculo, Facebook, Jay Seculo, broadcasting live there for the next half hour if you lose us here. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for joining us for our second half hour. We are talking about the bigger picture is the government voting to avert yet another shutdown. It's more likely, it appears right now, I guess always a big asterisk with this because you never know until the actual votes are done, but that it's not heading towards a shutdown, but instead a vote on a larger budget agreement, which will mean there will be a six-week continuing resolution to fund the government. So another one of those short-term spending bills. But they will also be approving the framework for an actual multi-year budget. And in that multi-year budget, it's 2 years of funding for the military. And it sets what that funding will be specifically. And we've gone through some of the other programs. That will have to be appropriated, so it'll have to go through more legislative steps. But it's the first time in a long time I can remember that they're actually getting past just the short-term spending. And again, if you are concerned about the way our budgeting process works, this will make them have to go through and decide exactly the budgets for all these different federal agencies and departments of our government, and what are we going to spend resources on, what are we not going to spend resources on. I know it always seems like it's too much, and it adding to the debt as well. And there are plenty of, you could go many different ways on this. One of the problems is right now is that you've got all this funding for the military gets tied into all the funding for everything else. So I think that's why you actually get some bipartisan support here and more Republicans than not actually coming on board with this, because they know, as we've talked about, that the military is struggling way too much in an economy and nation of our size. It should never be in this kind of position, especially after we've asked so much of our military over nearly the last two decades, almost two decades of fighting and war, that we need to be resupplying, if you will, whether that is, again, equipment, manpower, it goes right through technology, training, all of those different aspects are so important. And this, the Secretary of Defense, Secretary Mattis, who has so much respect in our armed forces, has said what has been laid out here for the military budget, he supports, he thinks will be very good for our military. So if you like Secretary Mattis, he is endorsing this plan specifically when it comes to the military spending, which is an increase for this fiscal year by $80 billion. That gets removes the sequester cap for 2 years so that the military is not going to have to abide by the sequester. And the total budget for the military would be $629 billion. It would increase the defense spending for the following fiscal year, which starts in October, by $85 billion over the existing sequester cap. That would mean a total budget of $634 billion. So fairly similar to this year's, but another $5 billion. And then there would be $140 billion in emergency defense spending over 2 years. Wes, what is the emergency defense spending that is separate from these, separate from the budget, two budget items?
Right. After 9/11, part of what Congress did, they passed legislation that overseas contingency operations, what we call OCO in the military, that they are separate from the operating budget of the Pentagon. And they did that because of the global war on terror. That is still in effect. And as you said, $140 billion projected for that. That pays for all of our operations with our special forces around the world. It also pays for operations in Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, places like that. And that is separate from the operating budget.
All right. So that is the specific budget for these, for the kind of war on terror operation.
Right.
Okay. So that doesn't have to come out of the general budget that's being approved.
That's correct.
And again, so that kind of lays out how, where the military, the actual numbers, the dollars and cents. We don't have time for a phone call or comment right now, but we're going to take those comments during the break because people watch on Facebook and Periscope. Logan, phone lines are full. So we come back, we're going to start taking a lot of calls and walking people through the budget, the military issue, and the fights that come next. I know we've got calls on DACA already. And immigration as well.
That's right. You can join us right now. Phone lines are jammed, like you said. We get your comments in. Also, exclusive videos coming up in the break. So if you want to join us, you can watch online. And if you're watching online, we never go to break. We either play you exclusive videos or continue the conversation. That's at Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Today, Twitter and Periscope at Jordan Sekulow, as well as at ACLJ.org. Like I said, phone lines are jammed, but we'll get to more calls and comments coming right up. Again, ACLJ.org for all this information.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. at the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. For those of you who have been watching throughout, Dan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, whose favorite issue to talk about literally is appropriations and omnibus bills. And he was on jury duty. He did get dismissed, but he will not be making it into the studio in time today, unfortunately. Thought about even letting him call in, but I don't know if he's driving, and if he's driving himself, then we don't want to cause any issues there. But he this, again, we've been getting updates from him on this because he's still following this very closely so that we're providing the most accurate information to you about what we're talking about here, which is there's been this larger agreement on a budget framework. And that will again, be voted on. The idea of the budget framework will be voted on, as well as a continuing resolution that will fund the government for 6 weeks. Within that time period, you're either going to get to where every 6 weeks for the next few months, they're going to have to do a continuing resolution. They do have a deadline, by the way. This got to go through by October 1st, the next beginning of the next fiscal year. So they do have a deadline. It's pretty far out to actually get all the real appropriations done so that they've actually funded all of this that's in the budget framework. But there's a lot of questions and calls coming in. Let's go right to them, Logan.
Yeah, a lot of people on hold for a while. Well, let's actually, I want to take Jerry first in Rhode Island. I think this is a good question. Jerry, go ahead.
Hey, Colonel West, you having been through the budget process, are we just going from a six-week Band-Aid to a two-year ace wrap? Are we going to be battling this at the end of 2 years? Coming from a Navy town where we had ship driver schools for junior officers, which was cut out by the budget, and then we saw the two destroyers in collisions at sea because there was a lack of experience of junior officers on the bridge. Cost us lives, cost us depleted Navy resources, beached while they were repaired. Is this an ace wrap or a Band-Aid?
It's a little bit of both, I suppose, Jerry. What will happen, the leadership in Congress, by March 23rd, they want to pass an omnibus appropriations bill, which will lift the caps for the fiscal year that we're in presently. So between now and the end of the fiscal year, in September 30th, they would get the $80, $85 billion, whatever it is. Then by October 1st, Jerry, they would have to pass a second appropriations bill to fund it for the following fiscal year. And unfortunately, you're correct. This is a two-year fix. What needs to happen is they need to really do away with sequestration, the Budget Control Act. Normally, the defense budget is voted on and it's appropriated separate from anything else. It being artificially tied to domestic spending, it hurts the nation. It hurts the military. But in 2 years, unless they come up with something else, we're going to be doing this again.
But this is the 2 years much better than how it has been.
Oh, absolutely.
For, it has been the Band-Aid.
Oh, so an, 10 an of ace, the last 11
If you want to
years.
Say an ace bandage, that is a significant improvement over what it has been like for the heads of our military to have to figure out what resources they're going to have available for the year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
because they're waiting on these government funding bills. I mean, we had these short-term time periods where technically our, you know, our military is serving voluntarily when there's these shutdowns, and though they do get the back pay, I mean they're serving, they're staying on the base as volunteers because they're serving our country, and we haven't seen a long-term shutdown in a while. So, but again, the idea that you can at least budget out for 2 years is a whole lot better than every 6 weeks, and then knowing that you're capped out as well. So this removes that, which I think is a big deal. Honestly, I think this is why this whole framework is being agreed upon, is because it is so pro-military. And so it's getting a lot of support from the Secretary of Defense. He's very respected on Capitol Hill by both Republicans and Democrats. Republicans care about funding the military. Even Democrats, that they don't always love, they maybe have this fear of it, but they know it's got, if they will kind of trade off the funding for the military, if you will, for the funding of the other government programs. And I think that's why you've got the bipartisan support here. If you didn't have the caps removed on military spending, I don't think you'd be talking about voting on a budget right now. I think you'd be talking about another short-term spending bill. But that's not what we're talking about. That today we may actually see the vote on this budget framework. It would be fairly historic for this Congress to get something like this done. Logan, let's go back to the phones.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Linda, who's calling in Washington on line two. You're on the air. Linda, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I am very happy to hear that the military will be getting some of its needed funding, because that is one of the things that is most important in the Constitution for our country, is our defense. But the thing that bothers me most through all of this mess is the horrendous amount of debt that the country is accruing. And I'm wondering, is there anybody in Congress, the Freedom Caucus, is concerned about the debt, but will this,
I get what you're saying, Linda. Are they going to tackle any of the debt issues? I mean, it appears, I mean, Paul Ryan is one of those deficit hawks as well, and he is okay with this because of the sense of that it provides stability and predictability. So instead of having to bargain over, which is somehow how you get into more trouble, is, yes, this is adding to the debt. But when you have the larger framework for agreement, then you can actually start figuring out where you're going to cut. We have not gone through that process yet. This is the budgetary framework. So do not say that everything in this is going to come out exactly as planned, which means there will be opportunities for Republicans to put forward amendments that will cut government spending. And it could be very significant cuts to government spending. But remember, there's also some serious problems that haven't been addressed by Congress yet, so they hang out there budgetarily, like health care. That's one of those issues where it's going to cost the government money. They did not pass the repeal or replacement of Obamacare. Because of that, it's going to cost resources and figuring out these issues. So when you actually go through the appropriations process, that's kind of where you have to put your money where your mouth is. This budgetary framework is a big deal, but we're still right now just doing a six-week continuing resolution. That's what's really being voted on, along with the framework. We will see when they actually get to the appropriations process what stays, what goes, what gets cut. And I think that's how we'll see. We'll be able to figure out if the Freedom Caucus, which has issued that statement, but cannot really, you know, I don't know if 100% of its members are going to vote no on this. It'll be interesting to see. Hopefully we can break that down tomorrow to see if there was even division within that very conservative wing of the Republican Party that serves in the House of Representatives. I think it'll be insightful. We got a few lines open for you. We're taking more phone calls throughout the show today. And this gets us into, if we get past this issue, we're going right into DACA, right into border security. So we're taking phone calls about that as well at 1-800-684-3110. My question is pretty direct for you. Are you willing, if you're one of those folks who doesn't like DACA, and actually we support the idea, but only with the increased border security, the wall, if you will, being funded. Are you someone who is saying, you know, I'm okay with that, okay with a DACA plan, and so long as we get the wall, or are you against that because you're against DACA. I want to get your thoughts on it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110, because that is the next fight that comes immediately after this. I think, do we have some of the sound bites from Nancy Pelosi? Because that's what Nancy Pelosi was on. Why, you know, people may wonder, what was Nancy Pelosi doing for 8 hours yesterday on the House floor? They don't even have a filibuster. So she was making the speech. She wanted this all tied to immigration. We still don't know if she's going to instruct Democrats in the House, which would be a break from Chuck Schumer, to vote against this. I mean, so that's the big question mark, though her team has been working on this. But take a listen, because she wanted this to be part of this. She wanted the Dreamers fix, the DACA fix, to be part of this budget. Even Chuck Schumer has said no to that and has been okay with moving forward and handling that separately. Take a listen to Nancy Pelosi and why she was on the floor for 8 hours yesterday.
There's nothing partisan or political about protecting Dreamers. If a Dream Act were brought to the floor, it would pass immediately with strong bipartisan support. And I commend my Republican colleagues for their courage in speaking out on this. Yet our Dreamers hang in limbo with a cruel cloud of fear and uncertainty above them.
Now, we heard today from Paul Ryan that the way that we handle this for those Dreamers, because they've got that March 8th deadline, is by getting this budget issue past us. And it would be it's a giant hurdle to overcome. If you're able to do that in a bipartisan way, then you get to the immigration issue. And for those of you listening, it's not just it will not just be the Dreamers or DACA fix issue. It will also be, it will force the Democrats on votes on border security. They are not going to get the DACA fix without border security. And it's really how hard will Republicans push to actually get full border security and not halfway. And what we've kind of had that laid out. The president wants $25 billion for border security. That would include funding for the wall on the southern border and more resources for those who protect our border and more technology as well. So when we come back from this break, I want to get your thoughts on that as well. We'll keep talking about the budget as well. But DACA, immigration, that is the next fight. It will not be tied to this budget specifically. So everybody can kind of say, okay, we got through the budget maybe after today. And then we're going right back to some more the most controversial issues that Congress will have addressed in a long time. Give us a call. A couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, get your calls in. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines are open. And we'll take your calls in the next segment. You can always get your comments online. We'll take some of those during the break and probably during the show as well. But again, a couple lines, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So a couple of quick comments that came in, Logan. One was from Stephen. I wanted to answer because I think that's a good one. Just sets up kind of the tone of what we're operating under in Washington right now.
Yep, Stephen on Facebook said, are Democrats in support of this budget?
So that's, yes, they are. Senator Schumer, the minority leader, is supporting this budget. Nancy Pelosi has been waffling on it. She did that eight-hour speech saying, you know, she wanted DACA to be part of this fix. It's not going to be as of right now. That will be an issue they take up next on Capitol Hill. But what we will see is not, I don't think this is not going to be all the Republican majority passing this without any Democrat votes in the House, or the Republican voting on this with no Democrats. I think you will see a decent amount of Republicans voting against this budget in the House, and maybe some Republicans voting against it in the Senate. And same goes for Democrats voting against it. But you're going to see, I think, a majority of Republicans and a lot of Democrats vote for this. Maybe not all, maybe not a majority of Democrats, but a lot. So it is bipartisan, truly, at this point in time, how it's been explained to us by the leaders of the party. Let's go back to the phones. Let's take line five.
All right, Joanne's calling Cleveland. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I have a comment and a question. I'll be honest, I would be very happy if every one of my tax dollars went to the military and not to watch somebody watch a shrimp on a treadmill. But that being said, on a local station here, I don't know if you're familiar with Peter Kersenow. He's a Cleveland attorney. He's on the Civil Rights Commission. He mentioned that if we pass this budget, no more reconciliation, no more 51 votes.
Yeah.
And I wonder how people feel about that.
So there's no reconciliation instructions in this, which means there'd be no 51 threshold vehicle unless they pass a new budget next year. And it means they probably won't, through fiscal year 2019, be able to utilize reconciliation. They would need to enact a new budget with instructions to bring back reconciliations. So that means they don't plan to do that until after fiscal year 19. Now, when is fiscal year 19 over, actually? So September of 2019. So it's not all the way through 2019. But yes, it would bring it in to utilizing reconciliation as a vehicle to get other legislation done. This is a big if they are not just the vote today, because the vote today is on the framework, and then it's another continuing resolution. So that doesn't get rid of the reconciliation. It's if they actually go through the full appropriations process, then it would do away with reconciliation as a legislative vehicle through at least the fiscal year 2019, which ends in September of 2019. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Elias in Virginia on line six. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Elias.
Hello, guys.
Hey, go ahead with your comment.
The reason why I called is I believe that liberals and Democrats don't want to give a deal on DACA or Dreamers over this wall because they won't have a message to run with in November or 2020.
Well, Elias, first of all, stay on the line because you held for over a half hour. We want to get you one of our side books. Wes, you brought this up during the break. We've talked about this on the show before. It is why, you know, Nancy Pelosi keeps talking about it and talking about it, knowing that Republicans will not, and they're the majority, will not go forward with it if you don't fund the border wall and the border security, the $25 billion that President Trump is looking for. They will go forward with it if you do. It will need Democrat support. And the big question is, do Democrats actually want to see this just fail?
Mm-hmm.
Because, as Elias said, they don't want Republicans to have this as a political victory, and it takes away one of their key issues, because it would be President Trump signing it into law.
Right, right. Yeah, I think you're exactly spot on. They do not want this. Oddly enough, Jordan, for the last decade, when the Democrats have been in control of all the branches of the government, they didn't really want to fix immigration then either in the long term. But the caller's right. In the short term, in light of the improved economy and the tax bill that was passed, the Democrats feel like they can't afford to give the Republicans in the midterm election year a victory to run on. And if DACA is taken care of, if this is fixed and they do some meaningful steps towards true immigration reform and secure the border, they fear the Republicans will win. And I think that's why they will fight this. I don't look for the Democrats to come on board with trying to fix DACA, not in a way that's really true faith.
Yeah, here's Speaker of the House Paul Ryan this morning. He's talked about this very issue in response to Nancy Pelosi's 8 hours of floor speech on the floor of the House.
I know that there is a real commitment to solving the DACA challenge in both political parties. That's a commitment that I share. To anyone who doubts my intention to solve this problem and bring up a DACA and immigration reform bill, do not. We will bring a solution to the floor, one that the president will sign. We must pass this budget agreement first, though, so that we can get on to that. So please know that we are committed to getting this done.
And the president's put in a deadline, a March deadline for this. So, it's the next major battle if they get through this budget battle. And if they pass, if it's more continuing resolutions, which there will be one through this, I still think it's the next issue, major issue they addressed because of the imposed deadline by President Trump. And the comments by his chief of staff saying, I'm not sure that he's going to extend this for people past this because we don't believe that the president had the constitutional power, President Obama, to do this in the first place. Let's go back to the phones.
Well, let's go to Julie in California. Thanks for holding Julie. You're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Julie.
Based on the hi, how are you? I'm glad to talk to you. There are the discussions you've had today have made me think that Congress really needs to pass a bill that says that the military budget must be voted on separately in an isolated appropriation bill. I mean, it just needs to be completely separate from all other bills.
And I think, Julie, it could be.
Mm-hmm. Used
if you
to be.
Don't, yeah, right. If you don't use these continuing resolutions. So if you actually go through the normal appropriations process, you don't have to put everything in what's called the omnibus spending bills, where it's everything in one. You can separate it out. That is available as a legislative solution. But usually what they're doing, Wes, is they use the military funding to build bipartisan support.
Well, and it's tied to sequester.
Right.
Right now, but since 2011, you can't really raise military spending without raising
right.
domestic spending. Congress did that in order to force them to do their job and come
right.
up with the kind of budget that the caller talked about, and Congress failed in that. And so right now, until they overturn sequester, we're stuck.
Yeah, they failed for, we're now 7 years of failure mm-hmm. in doing that. And so it's way too long to punish the military. This bill addresses that for 2 years. It addresses that sequester issue. It lifts that sequester for 2 years on the military. But I agree. I think there's a lot of agreement on handling our military budget, which is the single largest item in our budget process. And it's the most important, you could say. So because of that, handling it on its own would be, again, a very easy way, I think, to always pass through significant budgets that would be pretty bipartisan in nature and then deal with all the other issues on their own. Let's take one more call.
Yeah, let's go to Victor real quick in New Mexico online too. Victor, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, Victor.
Yes. It seems to me Congress doesn't want to do their job. And if they don't, they shouldn't be getting paid because they're not doing it.
Well, Victor, we send them to Washington. I see people will complain about how much a congressman makes or senator makes. They set their pay. We send them there. They vote on it. They don't do it in secret. They vote on it. It's public. We know how much we're spending for. Now, some didn't take salaries during the last shutdown. They said, I'm not getting paid during that. But let me tell you something. It's not the payroll for senators and their staff that is creating the deficit problems. It's still out of control federal bureaucracy and bureaucratic spending. And it's not the military. It's the other federal programs. That's why you need to actually go through an actual appropriations process and not six-week spending bills. Folks, we'll talk about it more tomorrow on the broadcast. It was great talking and getting into this issue with everybody on JSecu Live. Go to aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.